Thank you. So welcome everyone to the special board meeting of the Board of Directors for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. It is Wednesday, December 2nd at 9 a.m. And we'll go to the agenda. So item number one is the Pledge of Allegiance. So Ruben, can you key us in for that?
Sure.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you for that. And we will continue with the agenda. So item number two is the roll call of the Board of Directors. If you hear your name, please signify by saying aye to let us know that you're in attendance. So I'll start with Director Santana. Your mic is off, but I'm assuming you're here so I can see you.
Yes,
Okay, so we'll go with Dr. Fellow.
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
And Vice President Contreras? Director Contreras?
He was here.
I know. He's on my other screen there. He disappeared. He probably lost some
electricity
or bandwidth or something. Well, we'll get them later on. Let's go ahead and continue with our agenda. Tom, do you have the agenda there?
Yeah, there it is.
Okay. So we'll go to item number three is the adoption of the agenda itself. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Fellow, seconded by Trevino to approve the agenda as presented. If there's no objections, let's go ahead and take a roll call vote. Director Santana?
Aye.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
And Director Contreras, you're on the line.
Aye. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to be on the phone. I had bad internet connection, so most of my meeting will be via the phone instead of zooming in.
Okay. So we'll report you as an attendance and as an aye vote on item number two. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you.
We'll go to myself and I vote aye. So the motion is approved on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number four, public comments. Anyone wishing to speak for the Board of Directors may do so at this time. Christy Hawkins, do we have any participants at this time?
Good morning, President Chavez. We received no written comments, and there are no hands raised at this time. Thank you.
And President Chavez, if I could, there's a few more call-in attendees. If I could reannounce, if you would like to make public comment, please dial star nine on your phone, and we will see your hand raised and can unmute you. If you are using the Zoom link or application, you can do it virtually from the application. And at this time, we see no hands raised. Apparently no public comment at this time.
Thank you. We'll continue on the agenda and we'll go to action item or discussion item number five, which is the Delta Conveyance Project update. We have a representative from the Metropolitan Water District to provide us with some, information. So, Mr. Love, can you introduce our special guest?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Stephen Arakawa. I think Stephen's been with Metropolitan for probably close to 30 years, haven't you, Steve? I remember working with you back way back in the 90s. So, but Steve is was a few years ago promoted to take charge of the State Water Project issues, and he is here today to give us a presentation on an upcoming consideration by the Metropolitan Board to take action related to the Delta conveyance facilities. And with that, I'll turn it over to Steve.
Well, Steve, welcome. And thank you for joining us.
Can everybody hear me?
Indeed so.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to your presentation. I know this is going to be coming before your board as well, and we have a representative that serves on your board, from our board, and the rest of us want to know what's going on and if you can update us on the latest.
Thank you, Director Chavez, and I definitely am happy that I had a chance to talk with all of you today in front of our important board meeting next week when we talk about Bay Delta conveyance. So just leading up to before the slides are queued up, this coming week, there's a decision on planning, a planning agreement to continue on with the Newsom, Governor Newsom approach to Delta conveyance. And this is the third consecutive governor that's been pursuing a project for Delta conveyance, Governor Schwarzenegger being the first, Governor Brown being the second, and Governor Newsom being the third. And I'll talk a bit about the background on how Governor Newsom decided to take the approach that he's taking. I have a slide on that. But I think it's fair to say that, you know, when the Delta conveyance was a key topic in the early 80s, something like this, not exactly like it, but something called the Peripheral Canal, pretty different physically, but nonetheless, it was politically charged, and that whole idea went away for about a little over 20 years, just given that, you know, there was so much a political division over that. But the fact that there are three consecutive governors that are looking to improve the system, which I think means infrastructure, improving the infrastructure and rehabbing the infrastructure, I think it means it's important to the state of California. And, you know, our board has been behind pursuing this since about 2006 or so. So our board over time has expressed the importance as well. I hope to, with the slides, kind of go through the important stuff so that you all are informed and Director Trevino feels that he's prepared for our board meeting next week. So I'll wait for the slide to queue up. So we did have a board letter that we made available to our board members last, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday. And so there are three options in that board letter. The presentation I'm giving you today is not the presentation I'm giving next week. That's going to be for our board. But the presentation that I'm giving this week is what I've given to other member agencies and to the member agency managers group that we have our meeting at Metropolitan on. So I'm using that. And I'm going to point out, you know, what the implications are for the options that are going to be in front of the board next week so that you have a complete picture of how that will work. And I can have the next slide, please. So I think that this is the overview of what I'm going to talk about. Two key areas that I really want to kind of get your attention on, and that is the funding agreement. That's a key part of the action. That provides the funds for how the state will continue the funding and make a decision on the Delta Conveyance Project. And then secondly, an amendment to what's called the Delta Conveyance Design and Construction Authority. It's a JPA. It's intended to be the entity that designs and constructs the project once it's approved. It's been in existence for a couple of years now, and there's an interest and a need to refine the governance to reflect more participation by state water project contractors. If I can have the next slide, please. So in leading up to next week, we've gone through a series of meetings with our board and also with our member agencies. We talked about going back to September, work that was done by the Design and Construction Authority to give a very early preliminary cost estimate for what a proposed project might cost. But like I said, we haven't even done the environmental impact report yet, so these are very preliminary. Similar to the benefits, a rough analysis was done. And then we talked about the funding agreement, what would be included in the funding agreement. In October, we talked about the Design and Construction Authority, that JPA that I mentioned, and why the need for the change in the governance. We addressed some questions from the committee from September. And a lot of the focus has been on where does the money come from? Is it budgeted? And then what's MET's participation level and why? So those have been the questions. And then November, we talked about what the board actions would be. And then here we are in December. Next slide. So to give you an idea of where things have been, the state's path has been from their efforts on California Water Fix that had been going on for a number of years under Governor Brown. And they approved a project in July of 2017. Metropolitan's board took a couple of votes, one in October, when the Federal Water Project was still looking to participate, and then again in July 2018, when it was clear that the federal project was not prepared to participate yet, at least yet. But that was an approved project. It had all the endangered species permits and all. So that was pretty much a completed planning effort. Two tunnels, 9,000 cubic feet per second. So where Governor Newsom is going is in his State of the State address in February 2019, he said that he supported a one-tunnel approach, not a two-tunnel approach. And that's what the state and the Department of Water Resources has been pursuing since that time, so about a couple years now. So they rescinded all the permits and approvals for the Cal Water Fix project shortly after that February State of the State address, and they began preparation for planning for the one-tunnel approach, and the one-tunnel approach being a 6,000 CFS capacity tunnel instead of a 9,000. I'll show you some of the features of the project. They've initiated that early this year. They released a notice of preparation to start the environmental process, and they're right in the middle of starting to do the real work that's needed to analyze the project. In addition to that, in July 2019 through April 2020, some important public negotiations occurred between the Department of Water Resources and the State Water Project contracting agencies to come to an agreement in principle on how the project in the future, if it was approved, how it could be, the cost could be allocated in the State Water Project contract and how the benefits would be allocated. And the whole approach there was to assure that those who pay get the benefits and those who don't pay don't get the benefits, but also at the same time are not impacted. And so that took a number of months, but it was done publicly. Any kind of State Water Project contract amendment execution would have to wait until after all of the environmental process is done, and that goes in front of our board, and then, you know, that gets formalized if the direction is to move forward with implementation. But it was important to have an agreement in principle, at least, so that there was an understanding amongst the State Water Project contractors on how participants would get the value and the benefit, and obviously the non-participants would not be negatively impacted. And then lastly, with the governor, the water supply approach that he's taken with his water resilience portfolio includes Delta conveyance as a key feature of his whole plan. On the bottom slide there, it shows that the Design and Construction Authority was formed in 2018. And the finance JPA, the entity that when there's an approved project and there's financing to be done, that entity could do the bond financing, those have been formed as well. Next slide. So overall, I think it's important to point out this is a decision on planning. To complete the planning, get the environmental document completed, get the endangered species permits, the State Water Board permit for the new intake, the proposed new intake. And then to amend the Joint Powers Authority Agreement to allow for the right representation on that board with other contractors. Any kind of project participation would be farther out into the future. That's on the right hand of this slide. So that would be after the project is approved, probably in 2024. And then in 2022 or so, there would be additional. So as each board takes their actions on the planning costs, they can agree to fund the first 2 years and then make another decision at the end of 2 years to fund the remaining 2 years. The bottom slide of this shows the regulatory actions, the draft EIR, which I'll go into more detail, final EIR, and the endangered species permits and such. Next slide. So in the state's approach, in its notice of preparation at the beginning of this year, it did define a one tunnel project, 6,000 CFS. But in the environmental impact report, they plan on looking at alternatives, alternative capacities. This proposed project would have two intakes at 3,000 CFS each, so a total of 6,000. And they're looking at two alignments, one through the central delta, similar to Waterfix, and then one that skirts along the eastern side of the delta. And the reason for that option is to look at whether that can help reduce impacts in the delta and maybe make for a more feasible approach to get a project approved. And then it's about 42 miles of tunnel, shafts along the way, both for allowing for the tunnel boring machines, but also for maintenance along the system. And then there would be some facilities at the south end that include a pump station that actually is hydraulically moving the water from the Sacramento River up into the forebay at the south end, right next to Clifton Court, the existing forebay, and then the connections to the California Aqueduct. So these are the key features. The key thing here is 6,000 CFS, but two different alignments that will be analyzed in the environmental document so that a project that maybe can minimize the most amount of impacts is possible through this environmental review process. Next slide. This is the state's schedule. And so we're in 2020. They've done a lot to go through the scoping of the alternatives after the notice of preparation, but we now have 4 years, calendar years in front of us, 2021, 22, 23, and 24. And the key milestones are a public draft environmental document in 2022, a final environmental document in 2023, and then State Water Board permit for the new intakes or the proposed new intakes in 2024, somewhere in the middle of 2024. There's one other important, well, they're all important, but one key one is the Delta Stewardship Council's Delta Plan consistency. That's the second to last line on this chart. And so once all of the environmental document is completed and State Water Board then the proposed project would be submitted for consistency with the Delta Plan that the Stewardship Council administers. And that's a part of the process that was established in the Delta Reform Act of 2009. Next slide. One of the things that we've updated our member agencies and our board on are the program scope, for cost assessment to give the contractors that are looking to invest an idea of what a one tunnel approach might cost. And the Design and Construction Authority developed earlier this year a cost assessment that established that $15.9 billion in today's dollars would be the cost of one tunnel approach. And it was a pretty conservative estimate given that we're still early in the planning process. So they didn't want to they didn't want to ignore things that may come up along the way, including engineering, technical, logistical issues. So they made a very conservative estimate, $15.9 billion in 2020 dollars. And it has basically three levels of contingency. The design itself was a conservative design, conceptual design. The cost estimate included a risk mitigation for dealing with identified risks, and then an overall contingency on top of that. So pretty conservative. There's no actual engineering report yet. That will come later on as we get closer to an environmental document and the project gets more fully defined. So it's based on the earliest information we have. Next slide. So it's really important as you go through the environmental process to establish what are the key objectives of the project. Whenever you go through a CEQA, you know, EIR process, I think the project objectives are real key. And the state has established these four key objectives: climate resiliency, seismic resiliency, water supply reliability, and operational resiliency. They tend to emphasize climate resiliency and seismic resiliency a bit more because we're talking about an infrastructure upgrade. We're talking about a system that obviously has been in place now for, say, water project system that's been in place for 50, 60 years. But the Delta system certainly has its conflicts and challenges given the subsidence in the Delta, the sea level rise, the changing climate with the hydrology and more peak flows in the wintertime. So being able to address that and have a system that's more capable of dealing with that climate change is a key objective. And making sure that there's an ability to divert water as the sea level continues to rise and bring saltier water into the south end of the Delta. So the intakes would be located strategically, Steve, to try to avoid that.
Steve, this is Charles Trevino. The operational resiliency is extremely important because we have tremendous challenges on the Delta regarding the operation of Delta, especially future constraints and regulatory constraints. So I see operational resiliency as a very important part of this objective. And that's something that really stands out as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was just kind of indicating, you know, that the state they're saying all of these are objectives. They say that climate change and seismic resiliency and modernizing the system is really important. Metropolitan's board policies are in line with what you just said, because we've had reduction in reliability of our state project because of increased regulation and how certain restrictions on exports are being placed on the pumps in the south end of the Delta. So our board policies line up with exactly what you say. And the other thing too is that with the changing hydraulics or hydrology with peak flows, having the ability to capture those storm flows in the wintertime and have the ability to capture and put it into storage. Keep in mind with Diamond Valley Lake and Inland Feeder, when Metropolitan's board decided to invest in that, it really has provided a means of dealing with some very challenging droughts and Colorado cutbacks, where in short amounts of time, the metropolitan system is capable of bringing in large amounts of water and putting it into storage. And that's what's protected us during the drought times that we've had recently and the Colorado cutback that we had in the 2000s. Similarly, with this system, capturing the stormwater in the Delta and having that capability at the north end to do that versus being limited in the south end. So I concur with you, though, Director Trevino. The board policy has been to stabilize the state water project supplies. It's been part of our IRP policy to not necessarily look for additional state water project supply out of this project, but to protect the supply that we have. Certainly, there's a lot of changing dynamics with our demand, more local resources, conservation, but we also have variable weather, variable hydrology, both in the north and in the south. So that change in hydrology occurs in both areas, and being prepared to adapt to that in both Northern California and Southern California is real key. Being able to have a system that is resilient is real key to that, to address sea level rise, to address the large storm flows in the Delta. But also when it's dry down here and we have, you know, more challenges in replenishing our groundwater, basins with local water, being able to count on the water that's been in storage, and that water that's in storage from the State Water Project comes in wetter periods, wetter years, and being able to divert that in short amount of time because of the capability of a project like this, I think is real key. Next slide. One of the things that I think is important to the area, the San Gabriel Valley, is being able to, you know, replenish groundwater basins. And this is just a chart that shows over the last 15 years what the metropolitan deliveries, the total deliveries have been annually to the area, to Upper San Gabriel Municipal Water District. And I took a look at the information here, and over the last 15 years, the average, if you average it all out, it's about 39,000 acre feet. If you just look at the last 10 years, it's 45,000 acre feet on average. And if you look at just the last 5 years, it's 60,000 acre feet per year. So, certainly I think that, you all know more than anybody about, you know, how the basin has been managed and what you're trying to do moving forward. And I think that, I'm just trying to link together the ability to get state project water in the wetter periods and the wetter times to be in a position to provide water for replenishment, to restore groundwater basins when it's needed. Next slide. These are all the areas that are served by the State Water Project, and it stretches from Northern California to Southern California, and a lot of people don't realize it goes all the way up to the Lake Orville area that includes State Water Project contractors up there. But it includes the North Bay area of Napa and Solano, South Bay, Santa Clara, Alameda, San Joaquin Valley, obviously, a lot of agriculture there, the Central Coast, including Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo, and then a number of agencies in addition to Metropolitan and Southern California, and certainly the San Gabriel Municipal Water District, which is your area, but in all 29 contractors. But with this conveyance, some of the contractors will likely not participate, and some of them definitely won't participate. The five north of Delta contractors will not, because they don't benefit from it. They get their water upstream, so there's no need for them to use that conveyance. So if I can go to the next slide. They represent about 2.79% of the State Water Project contract amount. So when I'm shifting now to how does the participation level work in terms of funding the planning and then eventually in the future funding the project. And so these contractors, these five contractors that are north that would not use this project represent about 2.79% of the whole State Water Project. Their share of supporting this project would be distributed to all of their participants that are south of the Delta because they benefit. If I can go to the next slide. So these are contractors that we expect will not participate, and a minute or two later I'm going to show where the board votes have gone as far as these contractors, but these are likely not going to participate, and they represent about 3.79% of the State Water Project. And all of these costs would be allocated to other contractors. And the way that we've addressed the participation level is they would be allocated to those other contractors that are participating that are not Kern County and Metropolitan. So that's 3.79% of the total. These are non-participants. So these are small percentages. Next slide. this is where most of the contract amount is. And so these would be the participating agencies, a number of them in Southern California. And so the key thing here is these are the contractors that would need to absorb the non-participants. Like I said, those previous agencies that I showed on the last slide would be absorbed by everybody but Met and Kern. And then the idea was that Met and Kern would work out how things would work between them. So whatever Kern decided not to do, a choice would be there as far as whether Met would actually step in and fill that. And that's the reason for the two options, the two different options in the board letter, a higher participation level for Met and a lower participation level. And I'll go into that. Next slide. All of these agencies so far have voted. There's only three remaining. That's Ventura, which is the same day as the Met board, and then Castaic Lake. So those two agencies' votes don't affect Metropolitan because that all has gotten handled through the other contractors that are participating. It really comes down to Metropolitan and Kern. And so Kern County Water Agency did vote. And they voted, I think it was November 24th, and November 19th, 18th. And so the options that we have for our board coming up next week are informed by the Kern County Water Agency vote. Next slide. So when talking about your share of participation, it is tied to benefit. So if you participate at a larger amount, you actually get the benefit of that. We've shown our board scenarios where our share would be up to 65%, but also we're showing our board that our Table A amount is 45.8%. But with our need to take on the North of Delta, our proportionate share of the North of Delta, that would shift to 47.13. So if we didn't take on any extra from Kern, our share would be 47.13. And that is reflective of our option in our board letter for option two, which is actually the staff recommendation. Option one would be that we have in our board letter is more similar to the last line, Metropolitan share with Kern County, taking on the unmet Kern County share. And we've told our board up to 65%. With Kern's vote, it ended up being up to 60% because they actually took on a little bit more than what we were estimating. So we have an option one where if we take on Met's, if we took on Kern County's unmet share, their non-participating share, then we would be about 60%. And like I said, it's all proportionate to benefit. So whatever investment level you make, you get that proportion of benefit. Next slide. These are the costs. We had an original budget of $394.2 million over the 4 years, but some cost cutting was done to bring it down to 340.7. So this is what we're talking about allocating in the funding agreement. And for the first 2 years, if Met were to invest at the 65% level is what we've been talking about, then it would be 81.2. But with our two options now that are informed now with the Kern vote, if we go with just Metropolitan's base share, it's $58.9 million instead of 81.2 for the first 2 years. If we go with a scenario, an option one, which is taking on Kern share, then it would be 75.2. So it'd still be less than the 81.2 that's shown on this slide. It would be 75.2 for the first 2 years. The staff recommendation, though, is option two, which is reflective of Met's 47.2% share, and that's 58.9 for the first 2 years. Next slide. We talked to our board about the funding provisions that allow for funding it in pieces the first 2 years and then the second 2 years. The money is used for funding both Department of Water Resources activities, since they are the lead in the planning, but also the Design and Construction Authority, because they are providing a lot of engineering technical support. And it allows for us to determine how we make our payments, whether it's through the State Water Project Statement of Charges or whether we come up with a different schedule, but still meeting the cash flow needs for the planning. And these funding amounts that are specified at the top end of this slide would support the overall planning schedule and decision-making to get a project approved per the state's schedule. Next slide. So I'm shifting lastly to the topic of Design and Construction Authority. The proposal is to have a 7-member board. Right now it's a 5-member board with one vacancy, and that board was set up when Cal Water Fix was still alive, and the Central Valley Project, the Federal Water Project, did not end up participating. So there were a couple of vacancies there. Metropolitan has two seats right now because they were at that time after WaterFix looking to finance the CVP share. But going to a refined governance, Metropolitan would have an established seat. Kern County Water Agency would have a seat, and Santa Clara. Those would be set. They would not change. And then the remaining contractors would be represented by an additional 4 seats for a total of 7 seats. And the groupings here are based on geographic regions. So on the left-hand side, you've got Class 8. Think of that mainly as the East Branch of the State Water Project. So you've got San Bernardino Municipal. You've got San Gabriel Municipal, Coachella, and Desert Water Agency. Those are the kind of agencies. They would have 2 seats. On the far right, that's the South Bay of San Francisco. Everybody except Santa Clara, because they have a set seat. So that'd be Alameda County Water Agency and Alameda County Flood Control District. So they would be represented by 1 seat. And then in the middle, the 3 remaining geographic regions of Ventura, Santa Clarita, and Central Coast, and some San Joaquin area. So they would have 1 seat. So all of the board agencies that have taken votes have approved this kind of governance, this kind of 7-member board representation. Next slide. So that brings us to this board action. And the key to point out, it's for the planning so that we can understand what kind of project can move forward based on the environmental analysis and the permitting that's necessary. And it's also to make a decision on the governance. How do we go forward with a 7-member board and have representation from these other contractors? And like I said, the 2 key options, there's 3 options. One is to defer. Option 3 is to defer this decision to after the IRP. Option 1 is for MWD to fund their planning share at 60.2%, which means that we would take on the share that Kern did not support. And then 47.2% would be the option 2, which mainly would be Metropolitan's contract share with some additional to take into account the north of Delta not being a beneficiary of the project. So those are the 3 options that the board will be considering. Next slide. So at this point, I'd be happy to answer questions. In our board letter, we did include some information that our board committee had asked for that compares Cal Water Fix, which had a lot of analysis on benefits and costs, and just what would that cost look like versus other options of desalination, recycled water, those kinds of things, so that the board had an understanding of just from a resource investment standpoint, how does that work? But we would expect that a refined analysis of that will be done as the planning process proceeds. This slide here is just for your information. There's some YouTube sites where you can look at virtual tours of how the facilities might look. Thought it would be interesting information for y'all. And I'll stop there.
Well, thank you, Steve. And At this time, I'll open it to the board, but also I want to remind the rest of our audience, should you have any questions for Steve as well, please have your hands raised or let us know one way or another that you would like to also participate in this discussion. So fellow board members, any questions?
Mr. Chavez?
Yes, Dr. Fellow.
Yes, nice to see you, Steve.
Nice to see you.
I think I knew you when you were 30 years old.
I think actually that's true.
You're doing a good job, and thank you for being here today. It really gets disheartening after all these years of with going through governors, and hopefully this governor will stay around that we can get this completed, because you know, people don't realize we have to go through all the environmental studies again, and it's very bothersome. And it just slows down the process. But right now at the MWD board, does it look like there's a majority that will that option two will pass?
You know, I think the purpose of option two is to make sure we have an option where, you know, a good portion of the board could get behind it. I think there was a thought, you know, leading up to this period of time that it could make sense for Metropolitan to take on the current share. You get more benefit if we have earthquake or an outage at the south end of the Delta. There's value there that makes sense when you compare it to other options. But at the same time, you're right. I mean, it's been a number of years here. So I think it's really important to make a decision and then go through and do the planning. So that's why option two is in there. And I do think that staff is more optimistic that that gives the board an option to say, yeah, this makes sense. Let's go forward.
Thank you.
A couple of options.
Yes, Director Trevino.
Yeah, just a couple of observations. You know, there's been some discussion about waiting until the IRP is done. However, Steve, if you know, the planning process will probably take, you know, it'll take at least 20 years to go through the entire process and get us ready to break ground. And by that time, the IRP, as we look at it now, will probably be looking at another IRP at that time. So I don't think that we should wait for the IRP to be done, given that factor. The other thing too that I think we ought to consider, and that's a variable that we have no control over, is the fact that there will be a new governor when this tunnel finally gets, if we get it down to the final process. We might have two new governors by that time. So that's another factor that's kind of an abstract that we have to think about. But given all that, you know, I agree with option two. I'll be that, but I'll have my board weigh in on that. But and that's why the reason I asked that you be here or somebody representative from MED to give us this presentation, because I would like to get some direction from my colleagues on the board. Although personally, I think option two is the way to go at this point. Given that the funds are requested are for planning, what are the opportunity costs if the plans result in no tunnel project moving forward? Has that been thought about?
I mean, if the action coming out of this is that we don't fund it,
or that we don't, that it's not a viable project.
Yeah, well, I think the main thing is
we might have to modify the project given, like I said, the different variables. A new governor coming in, you know, the fact that, you know, things will change. Of course, now we have the Carson project, which will be extremely helpful if it's fully operational for MED's resiliency and reliability. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out.
There's two ways to look at it. I think that, you know, trying to make a judgment today, given that, you know, the board is going through the IRP process, I think that it allows for Metropolitan's board to be in the best position when we decide whether it makes sense to fund a project like this, to go through the planning and to evaluate the environmental effects and whether it is a feasible project to move forward, which is what you were pointing out, is this feasible? going, I guess the one way of looking at it is to actually go through and do the work to be able to once and for all determine, okay, does this make sense? And then the Met Board will have that information so that they can decide whether they go forward to actually commit real dollars to this project. The other thing is, I'm sure a number of board members are looking at it today and saying, do we really want to spend planning dollars? Is there enough reason for us to invest in this planning in order to get that answer? And I think, you know, obviously it's up to the board. It's a policy decision. But I would want to inform that decision by saying that our overall state water project reliability is affected by having this infrastructure modernized to fix it so that we're not dependent on that Sal Delta if we have sea level rise and salinity intrusion. So I'm hoping that, you know, that consideration is there, that it makes sense to allow for the board to be in a position to make a decision on investment later by going through this planning.
No, I agree with Tony that that this is something that should have been done, you know, quite a few years back. You mentioned a peripheral canal, and that was something that I thought we had a chance of doing that way back in the 80s. So, you know, I think it's something that needs to happen. We sort of need to plan for it. Mm-hmm. We need to look at it and see if it's feasible and if it's feasible moving forward with it. But like I said, I'm really glad that you're here giving us this insight to my colleagues, and I hope to get some direction from my board on this. Although, like I said, I'm inclined to go with the staff recommendation at this point.
Director Trevino, there's only one thing I want to add, and that is that when we've gone through these board votes in November, pretty strong support from other contracting agencies. So that's, I think, also something for the Met Board to consider.
Right, because they look, you know, the other state agencies look to Met as a leader, and they'll be looking very hard at what we do on this vote. So I think that's something else to consider, too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions from fellow directors?
Can I just chime in again? You know, it is so disheartening that we haven't gotten further on this project. And I thought for a long time there was a Bay Delta committee that, you know, if we can get it out of the hands of the governor and put the experts in, we would have gotten further. And I thought that's what the Bay Delta committee was supposed to do. But I've heard some Met director, one in particular, and I have great respect for him, saying that maybe, and he's all for going forward as a Met director with the Bay Delta proposal. But that maybe looking at other options like more reclaimed water, maybe desalting, spending money on that instead of the state water project. But we really do have to make the next step and consider the state water project. It's a very valuable source, and we just can't leave it. So but it's very disheartening.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to ask any questions or comments at this time?
I do, Mr. President, if I may.
Yes, Director Contreras.
Thank you. Steve, you mentioned the pay is proportion to the benefits that we get. If I don't ask the financial question, something's wrong with me and my board already knows me. So my question would be the pay to, can I say, as you mentioned, pay to play. What would that cost be to the upper district? And also, how would it be paid by the upper district? Would it be based on the acre foot of water that we take in? You mentioned that on the average, upper districts take 39,000 acre feet on a yearly basis, but recently we've been taking 60,000 as we speak today. So how would upper districts benefit? Is it based on acre foot of water that we take, or is a certain sum that upper district will be liable for?
Thank you, Director. I think that two things. One is amongst the state water project contractors and how the costs are allocated is definitely directly proportional to how you pay, how the costs are allocated. So Metropolitan's benefits would be proportional to the level that they're invested. In terms of the metropolitan system and its member agencies, it would be the rate structure. And so today we have a rate structure that's largely recovering costs based on water deliveries, water sales to our members. So for members that purchase more water, they pay through that means. When they obviously pay have less water delivered, then they pay less. Because it's all captured in a met rate. There's a state water project component, a Colorado component, a local resources component. And then it comes down to what kind of rate structure does the board want to have going forward, which is a whole other discussion that recognizes the kind of the balancing act between, you know, what's the fixed component so that everybody is maybe paying based on, you know, the insurance that they have that state project is there when they need it versus just the delivery of water. So that's really a rate structure situation. But I would say overall today, agencies that have more deliveries of met water, they pay through that mechanism. If they, you know, reduce their take from met, they pay less.
Therefore, thank you, Steve. Therefore, whatever we get paid is passed down to our customers, our water agencies. Is that correct?
Whatever Metropolitan's costs are passed on through our rates. And like I said, the larger portion of our rate recovery is on water sales and rates for delivery of water. And then obviously you at the local level then pass on costs to the local commercial and residences that purchase water.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Anyone else on the board wishing to address that? Yes, Director Santana.
Thank you, President Chavez. So thank you very much for the presentation. That was thorough, and it really kind of painted a good picture of where we are with this. My two cents is, it just seems like this is a water source that we still are kind of dependent on here in Southern California. And moving forward with environmental reports would be a good step as opposed to waiting. It would be nice if we could stop the redundant studies. I'm relatively new to the board, but the Bay Delta Committee, I'd be interested in hearing more about that down the line. But this is a project in combination with the Carson Water Project, our local resources, and possibly desalination. I think it's a smart move to move forward with it since we are still so reliant on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? I just wanted to say, Steve, that I also wanted to first thank you for the presentation. That it's very clear that that there's a need out there, and option two looks like the best option right now. But at this time, I wanted to see, Mr. Love, is there anyone out there, or Christy Hawkins, anybody out there that wanted to add their input on this discussion in the audience?
President Chavez, at this time, I see no other hands raised from the attendees. So okay. Doesn't look like it at this time.
Okay. I know we have an audience of 30 people out there, so I wanted to make sure that our producers and constituents have that opportunity to discuss this important matter. So having said that, if there's no discussion, Mr. Love, is the staff looking for a recommendation to approve, and then that will be sent to the board of directors of the Met?
Yes. Yeah. So what staff's recommendation is that the board consider taking a position related to this upcoming action at the Metropolitan Board to clarify that the board should not give direction to your Met representative, but the board of directors of Upper District can take a position on upcoming actions by Met. So staff's recommendation is for the board to consider taking a support position for option two as described in the Metropolitan staff report.
Mr. President, I'd like to move that option two be a strong consideration by our MIT director. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'll go ahead and second that motion. Any discussions on the motion on the floor? If not, then let's go ahead and take a vote. We'll take a roll call vote. I'll start off with Director Santana.
Aye.
Director Fellow.
Aye.
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Contreras.
Yes. Also, I would like to just ask the head Director Trevino to vote on the support of the project at their meeting next week.
Yeah, that's part of the motion. Yeah,
that's the direction.
President Chavez and I let Chelsea Scharf opine on this. So from a legal standpoint, the board should not direct their MET representative to vote a certain way. He should go to that meeting without a predisposed vote. But the board can take an action, a position of support for option two.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
So I'll continue the roll, and I vote aye as well. The motion on the floor passes on a 5-0 vote. Is there any other action that we need to dispense with on this item?
From staff standpoint, no.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and continue on with the agenda. Steve, thank you once again. If you can still hear us, we appreciate your hard work at the Metropolitan Water District. I had a chance to serve there, and I saw you in action, and I appreciate it then, and I appreciate it now. So good luck on another 30 years.
Thank you, President Chavez. I appreciate the opportunity today. I'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So looking at the agenda, item number 5 has been dispensed with, and we'll go to item number 6, director's comments, and we'll start off with Director Santana.
No comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Fellow.
No, good meeting and interesting and no comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Torino.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, a few comments that I want to make. The MET board is to be faced with some very, very important decisions that we're right now considering. Obviously, this the tunnel project, the funding of the planning process is important. And I thank my board for looking at this and taking the time to hear out the MET staff, Steve Arakawa, because I think it's important. It's a tremendous amount of money. It's a tremendous investment. And as Tony Fellow said, Director Fellow has indicated, and he knows full well because he's been a big part of this over the years. This has been an elusive target for us. The fixing of the Delta has been project has been elusive, yet so necessary. We've been very, very fortunate. We have not had any major earthquakes up in that area. But, you know, we can't take that for granted. So this is very, very important. Along with the Carson project, it's a tremendous amount of money. It's a multi-billion-dollar project. And it'll provide the resiliency for our district that we need on recycled water. So I felt that my board needed to hear out the staff, the MET staff on that. I thought it was important. And the other thing too, the final thing is a new MET general manager. That's going to be very, very important. And I would definitely like to know what my colleagues feel are important factors to consider in the next general manager of the Metropolitan Water District. So those are the areas where I'm going to need some direction, but information from my colleagues. And I think this is extremely important for us to be able to be a part of this and get this information and get your feedback on what you feel is important. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And then we'll go to his official final director's comments will be Mr. Vice President himself, Alfonso Al Contreras.
Thank you, President Chavez. And I apologize, I have poor reception where I'm at. And so because of that, I was dropped off twice on Zoom, but I was able to listen to the entire board meeting. The unfortunate part, I was not able to see the slide, so I apologize for that. Hopefully I can get better reception. And thank you. That's my only comment.
Great. Thank you. As far as comments, I just want to thank the board for taking your time on the special meeting for this important project. Metropolitan Water District does tremendous work, not only for our region and Southern California, but it actually benefits the whole state of California. So I want to thank our Met representative, Director Trevino, for working hard on our behalf on the board. And with that, that's all the comments I have at this time. So let's go back to the agenda. What's next? Adjournment? Item number 7, future agenda items. Anyone wish to place anything on the agenda may do so at this time. If not, we'll go to item number 8. Mr. Love, anything further that we need to dispense with?
No, thank you, directors. We're complete with staff's agenda items.
Excellent. Well, thank you, board, and thank you, members of the audience. That concludes our meeting. We are officially adjourned.